So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
I moved here to San Antonio, Texas from good old boy rural Little Rock, Arkansas. Place is pretty easy going, but being a very planned person, I knew coming to a big city, I needed to have a plan. I needed to have a place to live, a plan of action. Even though I didn't know anybody here, I knew at least I'd have somewhere to live. So when I interviewed, I made sure to get a place. 1 month later, in a 20-foot U-Haul, tons and tons of boxes, we move our whole world states away to a place we barely know. And when I say we, I don't mean just myself. I mean my stoic fiance, my troublesome, worrisome mother, my crazy 10-month-old child, and my rowdy, not-so-tiny puppy. She's definitely not tiny puppy. We move all the way over here, though. Hopes are high, right? What can go wrong? We have a place to live. So when we arrive, surprisingly, turns out not to be the same unit. Well, that would have been fine if it was nice, right? It wasn't. Instead, we found dead critter carcasses littering the walls and littering the floors. Great for a 10-month-old child to be around, right? Puppy sure loved that part. We also went on to make sure to see that every single cabinet was filled with black mold and leaky pipes were all to be found. Well, when we told the company, they said of course there would be weeks of renovation, the normal, or we could just terminate a lease early, 5 to 7, 10 business days later we could get our money back, no big deal. Well, as you can imagine, we took the latter. Safety first for a child. If you've had a child, you can understand that, right? So we move, we decide, what are we gonna do? We get back to the hotel, and we immediately are zooped onto our phone trying to figure out a place to live. All of us are probably just trying to find a place to live. No big deal, we've rent-housed before. Not hard, right? We're looking on there and we find a cute little house. Even better than planned, and guess what? The renter got back to us right away. This place was precious. Affordable, seems like a fair price, lots of bedrooms, great. So we immediately ask if we can go see it. The owner says, sure thing, come on over. We go on over and we find a lockbox. We get inside, we see the renter sign outside, we see the for rent on the door, everything looks perfect, the right address, nothing could go wrong. We felt like we had actually got even better than expected. Well, we notice there's no renter there. I get on the phone with him, this guy named Paul Lewis. Hopefully none of y'all have heard of this man, have you? Paul Lewis starts talking to us, and he describes to us why he couldn't be there. He describes the place perfectly. You can tell he loves his house. But he explains to us about his poor wife who's dying from cancer. They're actually in Dallas for her treatment, and it's very understandable why they're not there. It makes sense why they couldn't be there to show the house that they loved so much, but they couldn't afford to be in because they were trying to move to Dallas. So why not rent it out? She is going to get better, so just rent it out. We agreed, and it made sense. We really felt for it. So right after we looked at the house, perfect as could be, we go sit in our car, and as we're sitting there, I start noticing all these other cars pull up. 1, 2, 3, 4 cars. A lot of cars. I mean, this place was competitive. Who doesn't want the best house on the market, right? So we're there and we decide, no way. We are not gonna let these people take our house. This is ours. So I pull out my phone, I make sure to call Paul Lewis, and I tell him, I want it. We'll sign for it. Let's did the paperwork tonight. We need to move in as soon as possible because we're living in a hotel with, again, a crazy 10-month-old child. So he gives us the paperwork, and for the rest of the night, we're, again, locked on our phones, trying to do everything we can. We sign a lease. We make it all work out. Everything goes smoothly. In the end, the worst part, of course, is the $900 for rent, $900+ for the next month's rent, all the fees that come with it, again, everything you'd expect. Ooh, hurt your pocket, but it's worth it. So we're going through it, and he tells us the only thing left is in the morning, he'll expedite the process, and as long as he's got his money, he'll send us a confirmation email, and everything's good. The next morning, we woke up in our less-than-nice hotel, and we noticed that I make sure all the payments went through on my side. They got the money, but I don't see an email. No big deal. I understand it's early. He's got family. He's got problems. No big deal. So I'm there, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Finally, we just say, screw it. Let's just go over there. I mean, he said it was ours, right? I got paperwork on an email saying that it's ours, and we paid. So let's go over there. So we go over there and we pull up. The lockbox is still on the door. The renter sign is still outside. Everything looks the exact same. Still nothing of it. My partner goes up to the door, child crying all the way, of course, ready to move in somewhere and not be on the road anymore. And as we go through, I pick up the phone to call Paul Lewis. I walk over near the renter sign and notice, that number's not the same number. That's not a big deal, right? Maybe that's just somebody he works with. Maybe he does it and he works or has an office, right? That can make sense. So I call the sign's number because the other one didn't work anymore. I call the number and I say, hi, may I speak with Paul Lewis? They don't know who that is. They have no idea who this person is. I can feel my temperature rising. I can feel myself getting angry and hot, and I mean hot, and not from Texas heat. I can feel it boil. I try calmly to still just explain the situation and to tell her, no. I'm sure I've spoke with somebody and I've paid money for this place. And I tell her all the details, and she says, oh no, honey, it's actually worth this price. A little bit higher than expected. And then she says, and again, I think you just got scammed. Scammed. An A-type personality like myself, full of plans A, B, C, D, and E, got scammed. I was furious. I could feel myself shaking because, again, how could Rachel Rowland get scammed? For the next few weeks, we sat frustrated and kicking ourselves in the butt with what ifs and why didn't we? In only two days, these people had scammed us out of $2,000+, most of which we'd never even get back. We were so frustrated, but nothing could be done. We told the police, we told Zillow, the online website we used. We tried anything we could think of, but again, it was a fake identity. Everything was fake. I mean, these people were smart. I kicked myself in the butt trying to blame myself, but in the end, when you think about it, this could have happened to anybody. I mean, I did what I was supposed to, right? I thought I knew everything, right? At the age of what, I think I was 25, I still thought I knew everything in the world, but I had more to learn. And this was one of those lessons. In the end, we still got scammed and there's nothing we could do about it. These people were smart, and again, I know that I've said that, but I don't think you understand how smart. When I went back and thought about it more, I realized these people were really smart. I mean, not only had they made the false identity, I mean, that's enough, but they had also conned people into coming and helping them do this con. They looked legitimate. I mean, is it really likely that that many people would show up at the exact same time you were there looking at that place? That they would know to also use the lockbox and go inside even with no renter there? They all knew the code. Okay, that's pretty fishy. And again, MoneyGram, the system we use to transfer money, I had heard of the system before. You guys have probably heard of MoneyGram, but I did not realize until later that that system was a very easy way to lose money. It was a very quick and dependable system to send money quick and also not trace it back very much. So of course he'd use that. And in the end, the best part, the topping on the cake, his dying wife of cancer that I felt so sad for, of course that was a story you'd feel for. How could you not? Who couldn't say they understood that? You don't want to look like the bad guy, do you? For the next few weeks, we ended up looking some more, but finally we had to settle for a one-bedroom apartment with that 10-month-old child and that crazy rowdy puppy, all of us in one bedroom. Small, but it would work. We'd be broke for a little bit more, but it would work. At least we had a home. At least we had a home now in Texas.